Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Of the video is hope when life hurts most. And the first part was about the anchor of hope. But the second part was the megaphone of hope. And how the way we live our lives and what God does through our lives and the way we shout that out to others, we're a megaphone showing the hope that God has given us. You know, and I hate that I missed this last week. But last Sunday, Nate Franklin was right down here, standing up on his walker, praising God. With his, not only was he standing up, but he had his hands up, lifted up, praising God. And how many of you saw the video this week of him in therapy walking across that gym? What, three times he did it, Pastor Harvey? Three times walking through that, across that gym. And I've been able to share their story with other people. And I've seen it impact people that I, quite honestly, I didn't know if I'd ever be able to reach. But it's just enough where it's making an impact on others. Because Nate is allowing, and Melissa, both, it's not just Nate, it's Melissa too, is allowing their lives to be that megaphone of hope to others. And I also love where it says that Christ is before us and Christ is behind us. We're going to talk about grace a little bit, about being surrounded by grace, God's grace. And so as we get ready to close out this time of worship, just want to pray, Father, we thank you for the time that we've had in worshiping you in song and the hope that you do give us as you walk beside us along the way in all that we do. And the great miracles that we've seen you work already, Lord, in people's lives, and being able to share that with others and have that impact the lives of others, Father. And as we close out this time, I just pray, Lord, that you would cover our hearts right now and prepare us for a time of your word as we talk about grace and how you fill us with grace, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come and worship you this morning. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've been here over the past few weeks, you know that we've been going through a series on our core values that we have at St. Charles River Church. And the core value we're going to look at today is grace, not just grace, but grace orientation. And when we think about orientation, there's different definitions, but what we think about is the positioning, where you're at, and what your surroundings are, and then the impact that has on your attitudes and the actions that you take. You know, when you start a new job these days, they always have you go through some new employee orientation. You sit, so you learn about the history of the company. You learn a little bit maybe about what your job is. You learn about the structure of the company. And throughout that, you start learning what the expectations are of you as well. And as you go through your work life, you start absorbing what the company is. And that's what you start personifying as you work, is what the company does. Sometimes those are through actual written instructions and expectations. Sometimes that just comes over just part of you being with people and seeing how they act and starting to take that on. A great example I was thinking of, because I can never pass up an opportunity to get a sports analogy in, is back in the late 50s and 60s, the Green Bay Packers were coached by Vince Lombardi, right, considered the greatest coach still ever. The man whose name is on the Lombardi Trophy that's going to be awarded in a couple weeks to the to the Super Bowl winner. Now, one of the things that Vince got through to his people was there was what the time was on the clock, and then there was Lombardi time. If you were supposed to be somewhere at 9 o'clock and you showed up at 9 o'clock, you were late. Because Lombardi time was always 15 minutes ahead of what the clock time was. And there was a story in his book, Instant Replay, Jerry Kramer wrote, it was a diary during the 68 season. He talked about that and how that became so ingrained into the players that one time they were supposed to be somewhere at 10 o'clock to catch a bus to go somewhere. And everybody was there at 9:45. But there was one player, he was a newer player, he showed up at 9:55. And everybody's looking at him. Not just Coach Lombardi, but everybody's looking at him. And he's saying, well, he's thinking he's 5 minutes early, when in the reality, he was 10 minutes late by Lombardi time. So we take in what we're around, what our surroundings are, and that starts to become personified in things that we do. So when we apply that to grace, which is what we're looking at today, we are surrounded by grace. God just pours grace into us. We are surrounded by it. And it's how we take it in, and then we pour it out into others based on how we take it in. So that's what the shovel's for here. How many of you remember this from a couple years back? And for those of you who will be listening to this on the podcast, I'm holding a shovel and a spoon right now. Not just a spoon, but a little quarter teaspoon. We did a message a couple weeks back talking about the shovel and the spoon. And we talked about how God uses the shovel and just heaps grace upon us with the shovel. Oftentimes, though, what we do is when it comes time for us to give grace out, we have a little spoon. Here you go, Pastor Bill. Let me give you just a little bit of grace there. And if you remember, if you were here and remember that, what we learned was part of the reason for that is because we have a hard time receiving what God is pouring on us with this shovel. We only take so much of it in. And because of that, we're only able to give so much back. And the purpose of that message at that time was to try to teach us to fully receive the grace that God has for us, and then to be able to pour that into others, it flows into others. So when we talk about grace, one of the things we want to talk about, obviously, is what is grace? And we know grace, we know that's the love that God gives us. But I also heard a very simplistic definition once, and I told you to hear this name a couple times, so by Louis Giglio, where he said, grace is God at work. God working in our lives. And that's the grace. That he's shown us grace by working in our lives, getting us, filling us so that we could pour that into others. And when Pastor Barry went through the core values and he started saying, okay, and you're speaking this Sunday, what core value do you want? It was really easy for me to select grace. And the reason for that was because of the huge amounts of grace that I've had, that I've been able to receive and experience, especially over the past several years of my life. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scripture, and then I have three stories of grace that I want to share with you today. Two of them are directly from my life and how God has shown me some amazing grace. And one is through the story of a young college student named Ashley. And when we get to that, some of you may remember a little bit about Ashley's story, but we're going to talk a little bit about Ashley and how she received grace. In the bulletin, the verse that we have with that is Romans 6:14. So I'll give you a second to find that. We'll get it pulled up here. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Now, this is, I think, a great example of a verse you got to be careful of taking by itself. Because people see that being not under law, and they think that gives them the liberty to just to do whatever they want. And actually in the NLT, which the version, it says that you live under the freedom of God's grace. We have freedom in the grace that God gives us. And that doesn't mean, and then we're going to look at it a little bit later, that doesn't mean, because we're going to look at those other verses around it, that it does not mean that we have the freedom to just go do what we want to do and God's just going to forgive us and all is well. That does not what it means. What we're going to learn is, because as we receive God's grace, the impact it has on us is that we're not going to want to do those things. We're not going to be slave to sin. So before we look any more at Romans, I want us to turn over to 1 John chapter 4 for a moment. And the first verse we're going to look at, and we have Pastor Jason and Ashley in here today, is the verse they've been studying back in Adventure Cove. So thank you, Pastor Jason, for that. We're going to start in verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, I'm sorry, verse 7. We're going to start verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And I want to stop there for just a second. When we think about love, this is not an emotion. It's not a feeling that you love someone. This is action being taken. Action being taken by God. That's how he's showing his love, is by taking action. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. How do we know God is love? Verse 9. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world. Again, action being taken. Sending his son into the world. The world so that we might have eternal life through him. He's taken the action, sending his son, and then we have something that we get from that, the offering of eternal life. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. There's a song by Hillsong called Broken Vessels, appropriately titled Amazing Grace, because we're talking about amazing grace today. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read you just a little bit of the lyrics from that. You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. He laid himself down. He sent his son Jesus as an offering for us to heal the brokenness that we have and to raise us to life. So let's jump back over to Romans. And as I said, we looked at Romans 6:14. We don't want to, we need to look at the verses around that. So we're going to back up to verse 10. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. And when we're talking about he died to break the power of sin. That's what he's talking about, Jesus Christ. He died to break that power of sin. And then we can become alive in Christ through that. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not get into sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. That's the part that's so hard for us. We have to stay away from the things that can take us down that path to sin. You know, when they, back when they would have offerings back in the Old Testament, and they talk about offerings of flour and that, and when they would make bread, they had to keep yeast out. Because what does yeast does? Yeast, you put a little bit of yeast in there and then it spreads through. That when you're making bread at home, you put yeast in because it spreads and helps the bread to rise and everything. But it just takes a little bit of that to get in and to do that. Just like it just takes a little bit of sin to get in, and then it can spread throughout your life and all that you do. So that's why you have to, it says, do not let sin control you the way you live. Do not let any part of your body, any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. The body that you have is for serving Christ, for serving the Lord. And so you need to protect all parts of it. And it's so easy to be pulled in by something so simple. So now verse 14 makes a little bit more sense to us when it says, sin is no longer your master. Because we're not allowing sin to control us. We're not allowing sin to enslave us. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under freedom of God's grace. But just to make sure that we fully understand that that does not mean we have freedom to go do what we want. Verse 15. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? So see, it's a natural question. It's a, oh, that means we can just go do what we want, right? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and have become slaves to righteous living. That's what our goal is. That's what we're striving for. We have that freedom of God's grace on us, and we want to continue to live in Him and how He directs us. So as I said, I had a few stories I wanted to share with you. Two of them directly related to how I've experienced grace. Now, in order for me to talk about that, there's a little thing we gotta talk about. We gotta talk about the elephant in the room. Y'all didn't know there was an elephant in the room, did you? I have four beautiful grandchildren from the ages of 3 to 9. I have two lovely daughters, ages 32 and 30. Carmen and I have been married 13 years. So there's some math there that doesn't quite add up, does it? Because I was married once before. I was married for 20 years, and that marriage ended in divorce. And because of that, I did not think I would have the opportunity to be where I am right now. Being able to serve St. Charles River Church as an associate pastor. And I've always, you know, and I had shared, I know I'd shared some before, especially with the men in that, how, you know, I've always kind of, when I was a young man, well, a teenager, I'd kind of felt that calling on my life. Never fully responded to it, obviously. And then kind of went on and, like I said, got married, had children, just lived life. Every once in a while I'd feel that tug. And then once I got divorced, I pretty much figured that closed any door to being able to serve God in a role that I'm serving Him today, able to serve Him today. As a matter of fact, when I went through the divorce and as things were progressing in that direction, I had to give up teaching a Sunday school class, a class that I loved dearly teaching. And I'd also been approached prior to that about serving as an elder or as a deacon. And I turned it down because I knew where things were going, and I knew that in the end that was not going to be a possibility. And after the divorce and after time of adjustment and when things started going, you know, I started feeling good again about where I was and my relationship with God and that, I was ready to start serving again. But those opportunities were not becoming available until I came to St. Charles River Church. And when I came here, I had opportunities to teach again, serve a little bit in discipleship. And then in late 2010, Pastor Barry asked me to serve as an executive elder. I'm going to tell you right now, if it had just stopped right there, that'd have been fine, because that would have been somewhere I did not expect to ever be, serving as an elder. But see, Pastor Barry was laying me on his heart, God was laying me on his heart and had service that he wanted me to do. And so about 4 years ago, I had lunch with a friend of mine who's serving as a pastor locally, and at the time he was a youth pastor. And I called him about something, had lunch, and as we sat down, he thought I was actually calling him because he said he had told his wife, "I think Mike is being called into ministry." I said, "Well, no, Troy, that wasn't really why I called, but, you know, it's funny you say that, because I've always had those journeys. Matter of fact, I used to joke that, you know how when you go to a concert and they always have a speaker or something, I thought, oh, maybe that's what I could do. I could follow someone and speak to groups that way, just find some way to get engaged. And one of the areas I did know where I could serve was in writing, and I'm not following that, and I need to follow that, but because I love to write. And I thought maybe that would be where it was, but not serving as a pastor. But when my friend had told me that, I shared it with Pastor Barry. And so God, and I told you how grace is God at work, God started going to work. And Pastor Barry started talking to me several months later about serving as associate pastor. And about a year after that is when we started putting things in motion for me to be installed. And St. Charles River Church was going to credential me no matter what, because that's where Pastor Barry felt led. He felt that God calling him to do that. But of course, he wanted me to go through the courses and to seek that through the Assemblies of God. And so, well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And I read, you know, they do have some exemptions for candidates who have been divorced. So I called our district superintendent, Pastor Ray Brewer, who's just a really amazing guy. I love him dearly. And we had a great conversation about it. And I said, here's what we got to look at. Well, as we talked through this situation, it just wasn't going to happen. He said, I don't know that you fit any of these exemptions. And in order for me to fit one, which is where I kind of felt that could, it would have really caused me to go through some heartache with my family that I just wasn't really ready to go through. So I just walked away. I called Pastor Barry. I said, you know what? This is not going to happen. Well, Pastor Barry didn't take no for an answer. So he drove to Columbia and met with Pastor Ray. And they had some discussions. And now that, see, God had a plan. God was at work, and he was using Pastor Barry as an advocate on my behalf. Pastor Barry went, he talked to Pastor Ray, and they said, okay, let's move forward. Now, let me give you all a little piece of mind. That doesn't mean they just rubber stamped it and said, okay, we're gonna go on, because I still had to go through an interview process, I had to go through an application process, and during that interview, it was pretty tough, gotta be honest with you. But once it was over, Pastor Ray says, you never have to go through that again. I said, thank goodness, I am glad that's done with. But because God made a way, God was at work, I'm able to be here and serve in this capacity today. And the second story I wanted to share has to do with my first set of in-laws. And I don't like to use the term ex, because they don't like to use the term ex. As far as they are concerned, I am still a part of their family. Regardless of what happened in that marriage, I am still part of their family. And I've especially over the years had kept close contact with my mother-in-law, Vi, and my youngest sister-in-law, Kim, and then her husband, Eric. And just a few examples of how they just continued to just shower me with grace and love. When my mom passed away in 2011, I had gotten a call that I just got to work. I got a call from my stepdad saying that my mom was not expected to survive the day. And my brother and I and my youngest daughter, Samantha, were already making plans that evening to drive down and be with her. So we accelerated that. All three of us left work, and as soon as we could, we got together and we hit the road. And we weren't too far gone to when I got the call saying my mom had passed away. So calls were being made. The word was getting out. And, you know, before I arrived at my stepdad's to be with him, I had received a call from Vi saying that she was sorry to hear about my mom passing. Now, she could have just sent a card, you know, a few days later or something. Or she could have waited a couple weeks or waited till maybe there would be an opportunity. Maybe we would just happen to run into each other. She called me that very day to let me know that she was thinking of me and how sorry she was for what my family was going through. And then a few years ago, they had a family barbecue that Tim and Eric were hosting, and they invited us up there to be a part of the family barbecue. Even though I wasn't in the family, you know, anymore, they invited us to be a part of that. And then finally, last year on my birthday, I was leaving class on a Saturday. What a great way to spend a Saturday birthday is to have to go through class first, right? So I'm on my way home and I get a call from Vi wishing me a happy birthday. On December 1st, Vi went home to be with the Lord. She passed away. And on Thanksgiving, when she got sick, she had been sick for several years, but on Thanksgiving, she got really sick, and people could see, you know, the time was about to come. And I wanted to go, and I wanted to see her, but I wasn't sure how I would be received. And I didn't want to infringe on the family and the time that they were, you know, the kids and everybody that they were spending with their mom. But Samantha said, "Dad, go up there. Go see her." And so I did. 2 days before she passed away, I went to the hospital to see her. She was in the intensive care at St. Joe's West. And when I got there, of course, the room was all filled with family members, and there really was no room for me to get in there. And so I kind of stood on the outside, and I talked to my brother-in-law, Larry, and his wife, Sherry, was talking to them. And they're saying, "Wake her up. Wake her up. She'll want to know you're here." And I'm like, "I don't want to disturb her. I really don't want to disturb her. And I don't want to, like I said, I didn't kind of want to make a scene and, you know." So I'm standing outside talking to Larry and Sherry. Well, since I didn't wake her up, somebody else woke her up and let her know that I was there. And so as I'm standing outside their room, I hear, "Mike! Mike's here!" And Sherry said, "Well, we know who gets the love now." So I walked in to see her, and I stood by her bed. They raised her bed up, and it was uncomfortable. As they raised it up, it was uncomfortable in her legs. But they raised the bed up, and she took my hand. You know, and she's breathing her last breaths. And as she took my hand, you know what she said? "How are you doing?" She's the one that's sitting there. Her life on earth is about to end, and she's wanting to know how I'm doing, asking how I'm doing. And even though we didn't share a lot of words, it was just great to be able to have that last moment with her and to know how much that she loved me when she passed away. And when we went to the funeral, I went up to the visitation again. The family was great when I went up to the visitation, and then we went to the funeral. And we went to the graveside when they did the last of the graveside service. And as we were leaving, Carmen and I got in the car. And one thing's, and as I'm sharing a lot of this, I want you to know I have shared this with that family. I let them know that I was going to be sharing this today just to make sure that they were okay, you know. And as I talked to Kim and told her about it, she said, "You make sure they know how much we love Carmen too." They accepted her as well as me. And as we were getting ready to leave that graveside, we were in the car, and Kim came by the car, and she knocked on the door and had Carmen open the door, and she reached in and gave her a big hug, told her how much she loved her. That is grace. That is God at work, because that is not normal. For there to be that kind of a relationship after all this time. But God was at work. And because I've had those experiences in my life, I'm not here yet. I'm not to the shovel. But I hope I'm moving from this more and more and making my way to this. And I've had opportunities, I know, over the past years of my life to be able to, myself, to be able to show some grace that I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure I would have been able to do before. But because I've been able to receive the grace that God has given me, it makes it easier for me to be able to show that to others. So the final story I want to share is about Ashley. How many of you were here about a year and a half ago when we did the fruitcake and ice cream video? Ashley was a 22-year-old college student at University of Florida. She was in her last semester. She came from a broken home. Her parents were divorced. Her mom had remarried, and her mom and her stepdad were Christians, and her stepbrother was a Christian. Ashley did not go that direction. She was not a Christian, and her dad was not a Christian. And Ashley felt, quite honestly, that she had really had no use for, she expressed she had no use for God. And she thought God had no use for her. And so in the last semester, Ashley was living with her boyfriend and they had a falling out and she kicked him out. So she needed a roommate. So she posted up and she got a roommate named Krista. And Krista was a Christian. And so as part of the story, which we were actually, I talked to you earlier about that Hope When Life Hurts Most video. We learned about her for the first time there. And then in the fruitcake and ice cream video, we really got to know Ashley because Louis Giglio, he had shared so much of what had happened in Ashley's life. He became so close to the family that they gave him a journal that she kept in her last semester of college. And so as he's sharing a story, he's reading directly from her journal, her words. And she does. She talks about how she has no use for God. And when she gets Krista as her roommate, and the reason for the title of the video, Fruitcake and Ice Cream, because she said, Krista's a fruitcake. She believes in all that God stuff, and yeah, she's a fruitcake. And the ice cream part, because as they draw closer together, they eat a lot of ice cream, spending time together, connecting. But Krista saw the hurt that Ashley was going through and didn't judge her. And that's the first time that Ashley had experienced that, not being judged by a Christian. Krista didn't judge her. She felt empathy. She felt sorry for her and wanted to help her out. What could she do to help out? And so over time, as they get closer together, and as they go through, if you watch the videos, they go through, it starts with January, beginning of January, where Ashley's sharing all this stuff. And in just 2 weeks' time, she goes from thinking that God doesn't love her, God doesn't want anything to do with her, and she wants nothing to do with God, to receiving God's grace and accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And part of that was because of Krista, the impact that Krista had on her. Matter of fact, she said at one point, God's going to hate you for hanging around with me. And Krista said, God's not like that. God's not like that at all. And if you don't know the whole story, just a few months after that, Ashley is killed in a car accident. And that's what brings the family closer together. And the relationship they have with Louis Giglio is through that, because of all they had shared through that. And one thing is that her stepbrother was upset because of her, now that she finally got her life together. And he even said, there's some different emails where he said, why didn't you save her? We watched you work so many miracles in other lives. Why did you not save Ashley? And then he said, it finally came to him. God said, I did. I saved her back in January. And he got it. And so because of her receiving that grace and it being shared with so many other people, it has had such an impact on so many lives for God to be able to see that. And what I want us to do is we're going to watch a video real quick here, just a little bit from an excerpt from that. But I told you she got the The diary started, I think it was January 8th. 2 weeks later, Ashley accepts Christ. And this is 2 weeks after that. So you go ahead and start that. He's reading a portion where she went to a Bible study with Krista, or with Krista. And the impact it had on her. And how she was received by those. They didn't judge her about what her prior life was like. They welcomed her in. And they sang some songs. And one of the songs they sang was the song Mighty to Save by Hillsong. And she went home and she looked up the lyrics to the song. And then wrote them out in her journal. And he was reading that. But that's the impact of God's grace on someone who, and in just such a short amount of time of having to break through those 22 years of thinking that God wanted absolutely nothing to do with her, and she wanted nothing to do with God, to having someone who showed her grace, let God's grace work through her, and show Ashley what God's grace looked like, and for her receiving that grace and accepting Christ in her life. And for her being to be able to do that before she then tragically lost her life at such a young age. But then the impact that she's having on others. So that's why when we, going back to orientation, that's why we need to understand the grace that surrounds us. The grace that's heaped onto us each and every day. And we want to receive that so that we can go from this to being someone who can do this and pour that grace on others. Amen. So as we close, ask everyone to bow your heads for just a moment. And just think about for just a couple minutes about the grace that God has shown you, has poured on you. Maybe you've missed it. And you recognize through the passages that we've read and through some of the stories that we've shared today, just the amazing grace that is available to each and every one of us. And if you've not had an opportunity to accept Jesus in your life and to fully receive His grace in your heart, and you would like to come, I'm gonna hang out up here for just a couple moments after service. And if you would like to come talk to me about that, I would love to talk to you about it and pray with you. Because it's important for us to receive that grace so we can go and share it with others and see that God does love us. So, Father, as we close out this service today, this time of teaching, Lord, as folks are examining their hearts right now, I pray that they open up to receiving the grace that you have for them. That they take that into their hearts. And that they go in and they pour that into others. Share it with others, Lord. Just like Krista did with Ashley. And the impact it had on Ashley's life and through Ashley's testimony, the impact it's had on others, Lord. We just thank you for the freedom of grace, as it says in Romans 6:14, that you have for us. And we praise things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you all so much.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.